Good morning, everyone. And good morning, everyone live streaming as well. And let's come in prayer now. Before we come to God's word, let's approach God in prayer and ask for his help in understanding and applying it. God, we thank you that you are here with us. We praise you this Christmas season, Jesus, for coming and being among us. And we thank you that you've now sent your spirit to be among us. And we pray that you would help us to understand your word and to apply it to our lives as we look at your gifting and the ways you want to work through us, God. And so we want to please you. We want to have your working be operating in us in ways that glorify you. And so we ask that you would help us with all that this morning and carrying beyond this morning into the rest of this week. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Stephanie and I were recently sitting around the table with some friends and we're having a good conversation. And somehow the topic turned to the subject of spiritual gifts. And as we were all talking together, it turned out that though everyone around the table had been in church for some years, that none of them felt like they knew their gift. And then also recently I got a text message from someone else asking me, "Hey Jeff, how do I discover what my spiritual gifts are?" And so all of this got me thinking that maybe it's time to talk about spiritual gifts here on a Sunday morning or two. And, you know, I think when it comes to the subject of spiritual gifts, that sometimes we can shy away from it because there are a lot of experiences with and perspectives of spiritual gifts. But I don't think that means we shouldn't talk about it. But if you happen to have any disagreements or complaints about anything I have to say this morning or next Sunday, you can email those to dave@nwchurch.org. And while Dave's on vacation, he'd be glad to immediately respond to your concerns. So I'm just kidding, of course. I'd be glad to engage after the message or over during the weeks if you want to explore the topic of spiritual gifts together. That's because spiritual gifts matter. You know, think about all the kinds of needs that you have, as well as all the kinds of supports that you would benefit from to be all that Jesus would want you to be. And then think of all the needs and kinds of support that everyone in our church family could use. And then expand beyond that to all the needs and kinds of supports that could be used in our community. And I think it's clear in the midst of so many needs that we need every follower of Jesus here blessing others around them. And to bring that blessing and that impact that people need and that we want to bring to them, I think it's also clear that we need a power way greater than ourselves, our best strategies and solutions to bring those kind of things. You know, with such great need that we're facing, I think we need to be empowered by God himself for these things. And thankfully, God's Spirit has graciously gifted and empowered us to serve with spiritual gifts. And when you lovingly serve in your spiritual gifting and you grow in that gifting over time, then God's going to use that to create an enduring fruitfulness in your life. A fruitfulness that blesses others as God works through you to bless them. And a fruitfulness that's also going to bless you as you experience more of God's love and his power and just closeness to him as he's working through you in the ways that he has gifted you to serve. And so in light of all this, it's worth taking some time on Sunday morning to talk about what God's word has to say about spiritual gifts. And so if you've got a Bible or Bible app, you can open to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you don't have a Bible, no worries. We'll have the verses on the screen. And if you're new to reading the Bible, the big numbers are chapter numbers, and the little numbers are verse numbers. And as we're turning to 1 Corinthians, I'll let you know that this is a book that was written by Paul, who was an early church leader, and that Paul's writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And that church happened to have some wrong attitudes about and misuses of spiritual gifts. And so that's why here in chapter 12, Paul gives them guidance on spiritual gifts. And so we're going to pick things up here in verse 4 of chapter 12, where Paul shares that spiritual gifts are given by God who works through you. Verse 4, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So here in verse 4, we see that spiritual gifts are given by God, that the Holy Spirit is the one who distributes to each follower of Jesus their gift or gifts. And so your spiritual gift is not based on your background or your intelligence or, you know, your education, your finances, your gender, any of those sort of things. It's rather just based on God's sovereign choice. And then verses 5 and 6 show us that there are a variety of spiritual gifts, that there are different kinds of working, of service. But in all the gifts, it is the same God working through us to bear fruit. And so the focus is on God with spiritual gifts, we see here at the beginning, that he's the one who gives these capabilities and that he is the one working through you to impact others. And so your spiritual gifts are given by God who works through you. And in verse 7, we then see that every follower of Jesus has a spiritual gift, that we've all have at least one gift. And also, no one has all the gifts. And so we need each other's gifts in the church to build up the church. We'll see this as we look at starting at verse 7 once again. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. So in verse 7, it says that our spiritual gift is given for the common good. So it's not to be expressed selfishly, it's designed to build up the church body. And we also see in verses 8 through 11 that Paul lists some of the gifts that the Spirit distributes for the purpose of building up the church. And we'll talk about each one of those individual gifts next Sunday. But for now, we're going to focus on verses 12 and 18 through 18, where Paul compares the body of Christ, which is the church, to a human body. And as we explore this comparison, it's going to help us better understand how spiritual gifts build up the church. So look with me, starting in verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And so here in these verses, we see that as the eye and the ear and the nose are enriched by each other, so we are enriched by the diversity of gifts in Christ's body. You know, I wouldn't want to be part of a church where everyone had a teaching gift and no one had a mercy gift. And I also wouldn't want to be part of a church where everyone had a mercy gift, but no one had a teaching gift. You know, like the parts of a human body, we all have functions and we all need each other in Christ's body, the church. You know, let's be real here. We all have places where we lack spiritually. And so I need the spiritual service of other followers of Jesus to compensate for my lack and to help me to grow spiritually. And so as one of my seminary professors liked to say it, you're doing spiritual growth wrong if you're trying to do it on your own. And so don't strain to be complete in and of yourself as if that's even possible. You know, God's Spirit gifts the other members of Christ's body to help you. And on the other side, the Holy Spirit also gifts you to help the other members of the church body, to help build up the church. You know, God's Spirit works in you. Yes, you. In unique ways that we need all together. You know, God's Word says that every follower of Jesus is a gifted one, given a spiritual gift to serve this church body, building up our community of faith as we together represent Jesus to our world. And notice, as verse 18 says, that God does not haphazardly arrange the members of the body of each church. He places every part of Christ's body where he wants it to be. And so there is no room for thinking here that you're not needed at Northwest, that your gift doesn't really matter. In the church, like in a human body, the parts are interdependent. They need each other. And for this interdependence in our diversity of gifting to work well, love is required. And that's why, after covering spiritual gifts here in all of chapter 12, Paul wraps up the chapter by saying, "And yet I will show you the most excellent way." Now look with me at the beginning of chapter 13, where Paul describes this most excellent way. Here Paul says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." The most excellent way is the way of love. Even powerful expressions of spiritual gifts like speaking in angelic tongues and fathoming all mysteries and moving mountains and giving all away, without love, they lead to nothing. You know, we like to read verses 4-8 here at weddings, which is fine. But in its context, these verses are really more about exercising our spiritual gifts so that the church body is built up rather than harmed. You know, for without love, we can focus on ourselves as we compare our spiritual gifts with other people's gifting. And we'll likely get prideful or feel discouraged, depending on how we think we measure up to other people's gifting. But as verse 4 says, love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. For without love, another challenge is that we'll also tend to use our gifts selfishly. You know, let's say you've got a teaching gift, and you hear someone say something about the Bible that just isn't quite right, and so your theological spidey sense is just going crazy. Well, what are you going to do in that moment? Are you going to lovingly seek to exercise your teaching gift here? And are you going to focus on God and on serving the other needs of or the needs of the other person as you try to discern what to say or what not to say in response? You know, or will you exercise your teaching gift in a way that dishonors the other person, all about trying to resolve the theological tension that you're feeling and show how much you know about the Bible? Verse 5 says that love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. And so some of us today may need to confess to God or apologize to someone here for a way that we have misused our spiritual gift and have harmed someone else here. You know, and some of us may need to work on forgiving someone who has harmed us by misusing their spiritual gift. Now, as verse 5 says, love keeps no record of wrongs. And further, love is also required with spiritual gifts, because without love, we'll be tempted to excuse never serving in areas that are difficult for us. You know, for example, you or I may not have the spiritual gift of giving, or we may not have the spiritual gift of mercy. But that doesn't mean it's okay to never give to the church or to never be merciful to other people, even if you don't have those spiritual gifts. Though it will be harder for us to do those things generously than it will be for someone who has those spiritual gifts. But I mean, we're all called at times to serve in ways that are difficult and challenging for us. But as verse 7 encourages us, love always perseveres. Spiritual gifts also require love, because without love, we'll be tempted to judge one another. Say someone has the gift of faith here, and they spend a lot of time praying. And say someone else has the gift of mercy, and they spend a lot of time serving the poor. You know, the first could be tempted to judge the second by saying, or at least thinking to themselves, "You spend that little time a week praying? You're such a Martha. You need to spend some more time talking to Jesus." And that second believer might be tempted to shoot back, or at least think to themselves, "God's word says a lot of times that God's heart is close to the poor. And so how can you even act like you're a committed Christian when you only helped our outreach to the poor once this whole year?" Rather than judge each other in these sort of ways, thinking, "What's wrong with you? Why don't you care about passionately what I'm passionate about?" it'll go much better for each other if we apply verse 7 here, that love always trusts and always hopes. And verse 4 here, that love is kind. You know, people count the spiritual gifts in the New Testament differently. But there are about 20 or so gifts listed. And so in the midst of that many ministry emphases you might have in a church, not to mention the different ways that people with the same gift sometimes get focused on different, you know, sub-areas, there's a whole lot of different priorities and passions and gifts that can be part of a church family. And so you're probably seeing, in light of all that, why love is emphasized here with the spiritual gift teaching in 1 Corinthians. And interestingly, love is also part of the other three primary New Testament passages on spiritual gifts. In Romans chapter 12, right after covering spiritual gifts, the very next verses say, "Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves." And Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about love soon before and after covering spiritual gifts. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, right before discussing spiritual gifts, Peter says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." And so don't miss this morning how important love is to exercising our spiritual gifts. But what if you're not sure what your gift is? What if, you know, like that text message asked me, how do I discover what my spiritual gifts are? Well, interestingly, the New Testament doesn't directly answer that question. It instead focuses on the kind of things we've been talking about, that spiritual gifts are given by God, who works through you, and how each follower of Jesus is given a gift, and how we need each other's gifts to build up the church body, and how important love is in using spiritual gifts. But having said that, when it comes to discovering spiritual gifts, I will suggest two main things. First, you can prayerfully study what God's word has to say about spiritual gifts. So we've been doing some of that this morning. We'll do some more of that next Sunday as well. So if this morning at any point you've been thinking, "I've never heard of some of these gifts you're mentioning, or I don't know what all the gifts are in the New Testament," come back next Sunday and we will cover each one of the gifts listed in the New Testament at that time. And as you engage with the Bible's teaching on spiritual gifts, whether that's here on Sunday morning, whether that's at another time, I encourage you to do that prayerfully. Ask God to help you to understand His Word and ask Him to speak through it, to help you to see what are your next steps in exercising your spiritual gift. And then, so that's the first thing for discovering spiritual gifts. The second main thing for discovering your spiritual gift is to try various kinds of service and ministry. Dr. Robert Clinton from Fuller Seminary has studied a great deal on spiritual gifts and Christian leaders. And he's found that typically a follower of Jesus doesn't know ahead of time their spiritual gift and then start exercising it. That rather, the most common pattern is that a believer has ministry experience where they start using their gift without realizing that it's a spiritual gift. And then later on, they discover that it's their gift. And so seek to serve in love here in a variety of ways. You know, informally as you see needs. Try over time serving with different kinds of ministries here at the church as you explore. And as you serve in those kind of ways, pay attention to the input and the impact that emerges, which may be clues of how God is at work in and through you. And so when it comes to inputs, you can take note if you're hearing similar inputs over time. You know, if people give you similar input on how you helped them in a similar way, or they keep asking you to be part of the same kinds of ministry efforts, then that input may point to a spiritual gift. Like, say, over time, if people tell you that your words were really just so encouraging to them when they were struggling in their faith, and a few other people maybe tell you that something you shared with them helped them to see how to live out their faith in a really practical way that they hadn't understood before, then if you're getting that kind of input, then you may have the spiritual gift of exhortation. And as you reflect on the kinds of input that you receive, keep in mind that spiritual gifts can be cultivated. And so if you're trying some sort of gifting or ministry for the first time, and you don't immediately get a bunch of inputs that's, you know, real positive, then don't immediately assume that you don't have that gift. You know, if you saw the first time I led a small group Bible study or the first time I gave a message, you may have thought, I'm not so sure he has the gift of teaching. You may still not be so sure I have the gift of teaching. But so if you don't get positive input immediately, again, don't assume immediately you don't have that spiritual gift. It may take some time for you to receive that input. And as you pay attention to inputs, keep in mind that people express spiritual gifts in unique ways. You know, if you mistakenly think that the only way the gift of evangelism can be expressed is by speaking to a stadium full of people about Jesus, then you'll miss it when others share input about the way that you're expressing the gift of evangelism. Like, say, someone from your small group here at church saying, you know, every time we take prayer requests, yours is always about someone you want to lead to Jesus. Or someone having lunch with you, and you end up sharing the gospel with the waiter, and afterwards they say, you are so good at initiating spiritual conversations and sharing the gospel. I don't know how you do that. Now, when it comes to these kinds of inputs, they can not only help you to discover your spiritual gift, but you can give input to help others to discover their spiritual gift. And so let's be the kind of church family that affirms each other, making it a point to share when we see gifting in one another. Because remember, it's not just about you taking next steps with Jesus. It's about you also helping others to take next steps with Jesus. And as you pay attention to input, one more thing for this point. Think about whose input you are drawn to seek out. As Dr. Clinton studied spiritual gifts and leadership in the church, one common pattern he found with spiritual gifts is that like attracts like. And so if there's a specific believer that you are just drawn to and want to get input from, part of why you're drawn to them may be because you share a spiritual gift. And with hindsight, Dr. Clinton realized that not only was this a pattern he saw in his research, but that it was also at work in his life. That before he got clarity on his three spiritual gifts, that he had had four Christian leaders over some years that he had been really drawn to and had developed good relationships with, and that he realized after doing this research in hindsight that he shared at least one spiritual gift with all four of those leaders. And so that's input, paying attention to input as you serve. And as you serve, you'll also want to pay attention to impact. You know, try to notice how you see God using you to impact others in positive ways. You know, if every time you get involved with a ministry, it gets better organized than it was before, then maybe you've got the gift of administration. And pay attention here not only to how you are impacting others, also pay attention to how you are impacted yourself as you serve. You know, what bothers you and what brings you joy are clues to God's work through you. For example, if every time you get involved with a ministry, you think, I'm so glad we're organized, or why can't we get more organized around here? Then your focus on organization may point to a spiritual gift of administration. And if on top of that, you also find joy in helping people and processes involved in a ministry to get organized, to fulfill the ministry's mission, then I bet you've got the spiritual gift of administration. And as you notice what bothers you and what brings you joy in ministry, don't limit yourself to only thinking directly about spiritual gifts. Also, pay attention to complementary characteristics. You know, for example, back when I was in college, my church invited me to be in leadership, and part of the application process included doctrinal questions like, how would you describe the Trinity? Now, I had never filled out something like that before, answered those kind of questions, and I ended up spending hours looking up tons of verses and writing multiple paragraphs for each question, and was just enjoying myself in a way that only a newly christened Bible nerd could enjoy themselves. But I don't think I realized how truly unique that was until a couple of years later when I interned at that same church. Now, at this point, I was the one looking at the applications for the new leaders, and I was struck by how many of their answers to these questions, like how would you describe the Trinity, were only one sentence long with one Bible verse. You know, something like God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, Matthew 28. Where my application's answer to that question was multiple paragraphs and had a bunch of verse references. Now, if you look at the list of spiritual gifts in the New Testament, there is no gift of Bible learning. But there are spiritual gifts that will be exercised much more effectively if someone knows about the Bible, like, say, the gift of teaching or the gift of wisdom. And so something like that that brings you joy, like Bible study, or something that frustrates you when it's not done well, may not directly identify your spiritual gift, but may still be a clue because it's something that complements your spiritual gift. Like, say, someone with the gift of teaching also being given by God a strong desire to engage with His Word. So this morning, we've seen that spiritual gifts, they're given by God who works through you. And we've seen that spiritual gifts build up the church body, and that spiritual gifts require love. And if you don't yet know your spiritual gift, as we've talked about, try serving in informal ways and by trying various ministries over time. And as you serve, pay attention to the input and the impact that emerges. That's our next step this morning for those who don't yet know their spiritual gift. Serve. Paying attention to input and impact. And if you don't yet know your gift, please don't let that stop you from serving. The Bible tells us that every follower of Jesus is a gifted one. You already are gifted by God, and so serve in love. And as you do so, God will work through you to bless others, and He will guide you along the way. On the other hand, if instead you already know your spiritual gift or gifts, then your next step this morning is to exercise them in love. You know, there is nothing greater than knowing and serving Jesus, and we need your gifts for that pursuit. You know, the fewer of us exercising our gifts here, the weaker our church body is going to be. our families, our small groups, our ministries, our church, our community need your gifts. And this, by the way, includes the gifts of everyone live streaming and watching this later. So God bless you for the many ways you're still bringing your gifts through virtual small groups and prayer times and ESL. God bless you as you call each other and mail cards, and as you give financially and donate to the food pantry, and much, much more. God is pleased by everyone's faithfulness, including those who have more limitations and challenges in this current season. But please know, whether here in person or streaming online, that we need your gifts to build up this body. And so if you've reached a point where your only engagement with the church family is watching the live stream, please don't stop there. Please don't wait around for someone else in the church to engage with you again. Connect and serve in some way that you're comfortable with in this current COVID season. And I encourage you in that, both because you'll be helped by it and because we need you in our church body. And I thank God that so many of you are bringing your gifts, both here in person as well as virtually and in other creative ways, to bless this body of Christ and to bless this community around us, because we need each and every one of your gifts. And as you serve in that gifting, the very Spirit of God, remember, is working through us. And he is going to bring impact that ripples into eternity. And so let's pray now about all of this and applying what we've heard this morning from God's word. God, we thank you so much that you have saved us from our sins. And God, we are grateful for any guests streaming with us this morning who may or may be exploring faith, don't yet know you. And this has been a message oriented towards people who already follow Jesus. But I do pray, God, that those who don't yet know you, who don't yet identify as your followers, that you would still be at work in their hearts and minds this morning, and that they would have a sense of who you are and your love for them and what Jesus has done for them and how you want to supernaturally gift them as well to find meaning and purpose in their lives and to bless others. And God, we also pray for those who already identify as your followers but don't yet know their spiritual gift, that you would help them to serve and that you would help them over time to discern where you are at work through them and how you want to use them to bless others and to find joy and closeness in you. And we also pray, God, for those who already know their gifts, that you would help them to grow still more in exercising them in love, and that they would also, those who already know about their gift and spiritual gifts, would take to heart as well the opportunity to speak into others' lives and pointing out their gifting. And God, we thank you that in all this, you've done everything. You've saved us. You've gifted us. You're working through us. And so we ask that you would help us to be found faithful and responding to what you're doing, and that as we are, that you would bear lasting fruitfulness to your glory. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks, everybody. You're dismissed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.